Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, March 3rd, 2024, Communion.
First Sunday of each month, I look forward to this every time. There's nowhere in the Bible that says how often we are to keep the Eucharist, the communion service. And that is established by the pastor of that local church. I decided to have it the first Sunday of each month. And that means we would carry out this mandate 12 times a year. And that way I wanted it to be something very special for you. We have 365 days in a year. 12 of those, you have an opportunity to fulfill this mandate given to all of us by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the Eucharist, it's called the Lord's Table, it's called the Communion Service. The Communion Service enables each member of the royal family of God to look back and to celebrate the strategic victory won by our Lord on the cross in Operation Grace. It was our Lord Jesus Christ who gave all of us this mandate. Do this in remembrance of me. And therefore, the communion service potentially can become the most solemn phase of worship for you that you will ever enter into in time. In fact, the communion service serves as a test to see how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will know when you love the Lord to the maximum, for then the communion service will be something you look forward to. It will be the most meaningful and powerful worship service in your life. The purpose of the communion service is to have intensified fellowship with our Lord. It's a time of maximum fellowship with and concentration on both the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in Operation Grace. And since the communion service is the time of intensified fellowship with the living and true God, around his table, there is one prerequisite, and that is you must be in fellowship with God. You lose fellowship with God through sin. You recover fellowship with God through rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now we can do a right thing. Come to the Lord's table the right way in fellowship with God. So in preparation to worship our Lord at His table, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have invited all of Your royal family to come to Your table to fellowship with You, sir, and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we ask that God the Holy Spirit might recall from the memory center of our souls all of those magnificent principles and promises and doctrines that relate to both the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that these next few moments might be very meaningful for everyone who is here. For we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, there are two elements. There is the bread, and there is the cup. The bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, while the cup speaks of His unique work on the cross for each one of us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will never hunger. He who believes in Me will never thirst." As you look at the bread, you're looking at the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever, different from God in that He is man and perfect man, different from man in that He is the eternal God. And as you look at the bread, you're looking at the genuine humility of the Son of God. It was the Father who designed Operation Grace, the cross, and it was the Son who said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that was absolutely amazing. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to leave heaven and leave glory. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to humble Himself and take on true humanity. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be rejected by His own people and treated as a common criminal. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on His head. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would be beaten to the point His closest friends could hardly recognize Him. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing He would have to carry His own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And He said, "Yes, sir," knowing that when He got there, He would be crucified. In all of that, there was a lot of suffering. And yet none of that suffering provided salvation for you and for me. It was what happened next. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing that while He was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on Him, and judge them in Him. And knowing that, He said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature. And then he proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross and be our Savior. I'm going to ask Gary Brown, one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the bread.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you, sir, for inviting us to your communion table, where we can recall your gracious, gracious plan to send your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to solve mankind's, or take on true humanity, and to solve mankind's problem of sin. Sir, we are thankful, and we thank you for his genuine humility in accepting your gracious plan, knowing all that he would have to endure to accomplish and purchase our salvation. As we partake of this bread, sir, I pray that we do so in pure remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, sir, and his finished work on the cross. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
It is the custom of this local church to retain the bread until everyone has been served. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As the bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, so the cup speaks of his unique work on the cross for each one of us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. As you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward three main areas: toward sin, toward man, toward God. His work directed toward sin is summarized in the scriptures in the doctrines of redemption and atonement. In the scriptures, the word to redeem literally means to purchase from a slave market. And that accurately describes the human condition. We were all born into slavery. Slaves to sin and death. Slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Slaves to Satan as the ruler of this world. And there was only one free man outside of that slave market. The impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ. The coin of the realm that purchased our freedom, the blood of Christ, a very important phrase in the Word of God. It speaks of the saving work of Christ on the cross. It speaks of those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. It should have been the brightest time of the day. But God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. For now he was gathering up the sins of the whole world, pouring them out on his Son, and judging them in him. At the end of that 3 hours of darkness and judgment, the darkness left. Jesus Christ was still physically alive. And that's when the world heard the greatest victory cry it will ever hear. Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. And as you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward man. This is summarized in the doctrine of reconciliation. To reconcile means to remove a barrier. Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by his work on the cross, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. And as you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward God the Father. This is summarized in the doctrine of propitiation. To propitiate means to satisfy. Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demand of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father, for he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. Going to ask Al Bingham, another one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the cup.
We want to thank you for your perfect plan and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who executed that plan perfectly, paying the penalty for all of our sins, so that by simply believing in him, we have everlasting life. As we partake of the cup, may we do so with humility and gratitude for who and what Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished for us on the cross. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
It is also the custom of this local church to retain the cup until everyone's been served. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you, sir, for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the so great salvation he accomplished for us on the cross. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you not only found a way to take us from spiritual death and give us the gift of eternal life and your imputed righteousness, but also to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And for these things, sir, we are forever grateful. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now Randy will come forward and lead the congregation in "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."